Song from Mark Harris called Writing on the Wall. It's 22 past the hour on this Tuesday morning. John Delancey, Reverend Dr. John Delancey, now joins us from Glenshaw, Pennsylvania, sitting in his pastor's office, apparently, with the sticky notes. All you keep a pretty busy-looking office there, John. Look at that. You've got stuff stuck up everywhere.
Well, it's a little messy, but it works for me.
But that means creative mess is better than idle neatness. That's the sign that hangs over my desk. My wife gave that little plaque to me. She made it years ago. And wow. It applies. I'll have to send you a copy of that. John, a pastor in Glenshaw, and I hesitate to say amateur archaeologist. Is there someone who gets paid to be an archaeologist?
Yeah, there's a team. Usually the team leaders are financed by either a university or private funds, so certainly there are those who make a living. Not too many actually make a living doing archaeology, but most are professors and certainly take their classroom out to the site, if you will, and that's how they make a living. But
do they like take a sabbatical? Because these digs can be quite time consuming. I mean, month after month after month, a lot of detail work. Would they actually be considered their course of instruction? Would they take students out to a site and dig?
Well, it depends on how long the season is. Mm. For instance, the site that I like to talk about today, Abel Beit Macha, it's a city up in the north. It's actually only about a mile and a half from the Lebanon border. Mm. But this particular site will be excavated for the first time this June, and it's a five-week excavation, and most of it will be pursuing what they think might be some fortifications, some gate structures. Obviously, a first season, you're not sure what to find, but it's an interesting dig, and I'm anxious to talk about it.
Who's in charge of that? Is there a university in charge of that dig?
Yeah, Azusa Pacific.
Okay, I know them. Yeah,
as well as teaming up with Hebrew University, a doctor. Mm-hmm. Robert Mullins, who actually was a student at the Jerusalem University College where I studied just a few years before me. Mm-hmm. I've been in conversation with him, email conversation that is, probably five or six times over the last week, because not this year as they have their first season of excavation, but next year I'm excited to announce that one of my trips next June will conclude with an optional 2 weeks of digging with Dr. Mullin. At this site. So I will be returning, hopefully, to being an archaeologist, if you will, for a couple of weeks.
And feet on the ground there.
Feet on the ground and hands in the dirt. And
okay. Well, kind of why stuff. Is it they decide to dig there now? It's been there for 3,000, 4,000 years. I mean, what prompts a new dig? Was it a find? Somebody tripped over something and said, oh, look? Or was it maybe a more comprehensive study of the area that something went on here? I know from 2 Samuel something went on in this area, so let's just take a look. What prompts someone to organize a dig like that?
Well, even back in the late 70s when we were students, even early 80s, we used to drive past this site, and it has never been excavated because, you know, there are many sites in Israel that seemingly have been identified with biblical sites, but it takes a lot of funds and expertise, and Dr. Mullins always wanted to dig here, believe it or not. So the opportunity now has been available to him to begin this coming June. So he lined up all the details, all the licenses. They even a very interesting procedure. They even got a group of about 30 students, I believe, and surveyed the site last year. And they typically go out on a site. It's almost like you're hunting for a lost person in the woods. They sort of just make a line, and they, you know, one day might be just surveying the site on a particular, you know, the west side of the city itself. They will record their pottery finds. Certainly there is surface pottery that can be found from, you know, early and late time periods. But
Well, do they take like the ground, what I don't know what they call it, ground truthing radar, use some technology to see what might be there on the surface or close to it?
Well, I'm not sure if they did themselves. I'm actually reading his description of how they surveyed this team. Mm-hmm. We know from 2 Kings 15 and 1 Kings 15, for instance, a couple stories, narratives where some northern kingdoms invaded and actually took this city as well as other surrounding cities. So they are in particular looking for a siege ramp, and that's what their main objective will be this June. But given the topography of the site, it seems as if they sort of can guess where the gate might have been, where perhaps the siege ramp built by Tiglath-Pileser, this Assyrian king in 732 BC, mm-hmm. where perhaps he built this siege ramp in order to conquer the city. So
this is essentially an Old Testament site, isn't it? I don't know of a reference to it in the New Testament.
I'm not sure there is a New Testament reference. Just these couple references to the destruction of the city. Of course, it was destroyed and then rebuilt. But we have a reference also, I think you alluded to in the book of 2 Samuel, where this unnamed wise woman sort of talks Joab out of taking the city itself. There was a man named Sheva from the hill country of Ephraim who was rebelling against David's kingdom, and apparently he sought refuge here. So it's an interesting dialogue there in 2 Samuel 20, verse 15 and following, about how the woman predicted that Sheva's head would one day be thrown over the walls to Joab. So,
well, she was trying to defend the city, was she not? She didn't want to see it invaded and taken. So I think they...
Yeah, so yeah. She, in return to taking the city, she actually threw out the head of this rebellious person named Sheva, who was rebelling against the Davidic kingdom. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's a reference to a wall. So it'll be very interesting to see. In this first season, this five-week session, I actually plan to take my group there in July and stop by the site, even though it's really sort of off-limits, if you will, to tourists. But Dr. Mullen has graciously allowed us to stop by and introduce myself and show the group, of course, how a site excavation begins, and I'm excited about what they might find.
You know, this looks like a very pleasant area. I'm looking at some photos right now on a Google search of the place, and there's a lot of green and hills and rocks, and just it looks altogether like a very pleasant place to be and to work and to live. But you don't hear much about this area in the news anymore. Is it a populous area? I mean, it looks like a pleasant place to live. Surely there's a significant population up there.
Well, there's only a few hundred thousand people who live in the Golan Heights. There are about 22 kibbutzim, communal living situations where Israelis are you know, either farming the ground or they have some kind of industry of some kind. But being so close to the border, yes, this was a very strategic area back in Old Testament times because of its proximity. All the kings from the north came through here, Hazor being the primary city. It's a city, of course, that Joshua conquered back in the days of the conquest.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, but they had trouble up north. The Israelites had trouble conquering territory up north. It must have been held by some fairly strong kings or city-states through the area. And the tribe of... Didn't Dan wind up in the north because they couldn't take the territory farther south that they'd been assigned? Isn't that how Dan ended up there?
Yes, Dan's only about a mile and a half away. And it's just a little, I believe, just to the east. But it's another impressive city. And, you know, who knows if this new excavation will reveal some artifacts, some fortresses, some, fortification, I should say, or wall structure that might just indeed give us insights as to why this city was built here and some of the historical situations that caused these northern kingdoms to come and invade this particular city.
You've talked to us on previous programs about Hazor. That's got to be not too far from there, so it seems like maybe these places are on either side of the valley, which was a main north-south entrance into Israel, wasn't it?
It really was. It's called the Hula Valley, and Hazor was a little further south, but pretty much on the main road, this north-south road that extends from Assyria and places north to the Sea of Galilee Basin. And Abu Beit Makkah is simply a smaller site, but it was certainly fortified in the days of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. But now this is, it's almost in Lebanon, but it is Israel, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so it comes under Israeli control. It should be a secure place. And I'm just amazed that it hasn't been. And you told me why, but it's still, after this many years, this many centuries, to think that this has been untouched is pretty impressive. It's got to be pretty exciting for an archaeologist.
Yeah, in fact, I'm just excited to perhaps be a part of this. I know a few other people who studied where I did who are going to be a part of it. Dr. John Munson, who has his PhD from Harvard in archaeology. He teaches presently at the Trinity Seminary there in Deerfield, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he is going to take a team of seminarians actually to help volunteer at this site for this first season.
Okay. Sounds like an exciting time. And your tour is when? Is it in June? Where you're going to be?
Well, I have an April, May, June, and July trip.
My goodness. Be a busy guy.
And I think I'll be up in that site on the July trip when they are there. The June mm-hmm. trip, I think I'll be not in that area when they start. They okay. start, I think, the 23rd. But mm-hmm. It's very interesting to see how they surveyed the site last year and now are excited to be able to begin their excavation.
And you still have some openings for the July tour, I would presume.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that might be a good thing to think about if you're out there and interested in archaeology and visiting the Holy Land. I can't think of a more exciting guy to be with than John on his July tour. Biblical Israel Tours is the website, and you can find out more about John and about the whole Biblical Israel effort and sign up for the tour if you're so disposed, or at least get more information and follow up with John at a later time. This looks like just a beautiful area. It'd be an exciting. We ought to send David. David, you're a good man with a shovel, aren't you?
I think what's happening now is that we're starting to think our own thoughts, or we're starting to think each other's thoughts.
Uh-oh.
I think that we ought to send the news ruminator on the road.
Yeah.
And I'll do broadcasts from there.
You've always been a little remote. You could
mm-hmm.
do a remote
mm-hmm.
for us.
Remote's my best suit.
I think so.
John, I'm looking at a picture of the site, and it says the view is towards the east.
Mm-hmm.
So the range of what looks like lumps or hills, it looks like it's going north and south. And you're not looking at the same picture, or you could be, but there's a higher ridge to mm-hmm. the left, and then it seems to move or get lower as it goes north. Have you seen the picture of the sites, and is there any way to take a stab at where the city might lay,
Yeah, I'll bet there's some satellite photos that would probably have a few clues.
Yeah, well, the site is in the shape of a tell, an ancient mound, so there is a, a site structure, if you will. Well, you can see it, actually, while standing there. You can see the site when you pass by a certain road. So even an unexcavated site looks like an ancient mound built up over the centuries, if you will. So it's distinguishable. The mountains to the east, of course, are the upper Golan Heights. Israel owns them. Of course, to the north, like I said, is the country of Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting topographical setting where the site is essentially the northern guard point or fortress or guard city. Protecting the natural route that would have extended from the north down to the south.
That was my next question. What route did it protect? It must have, stood very close to, or maybe even straddled a trade route.
It really did. Really a military route. Every invasion that we find, in fact, when we talk about Tiglath-Pileser in 732 coming and destroying the city, this is exactly the same route they took. And of course, they conquered the cities that were meant to guard this natural route. I find it interesting that even in this survey last year, an upper wall below some topsoil revealed some burned mud brick and pottery that might have actually been part of Tiglath-Pileser's invasion in 732 mm-hmm. and mentioned in 2 Kings 15. And even an earlier wall beneath this even shows evidence of destruction, perhaps by Ben-Hadad, who is mentioned in the 1 Kings passage. So when you'd survey the site like this and sort of probe around the site, you can actually find evidences even before you officially begin the excavation of destruction levels, as mentioned in the Bible. Hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what, when we get our conversation posted today, I'll attach a link to these photos so people can, and then obviously people can search on at their leisure. But seeing these pictures mm-hmm. is really pretty exciting. It's just a very, I'm trying to think of a place in the U.S. I've seen that looks like this. It reminds me of maybe out west, or maybe could even be southeast, because the mountains are not real high.
Northern Arizona,
yeah.
Looks like Flagstaff.
Probably so.
Vegetation looks like Flagstaff. It's low-lying shrubs, some deciduous, some coniferous, but there's the leafy, small, petaled flowers, purple flowers. I'm thinking it's, not sure what it is, but it's, it looks a lot like Northern Arizona, maybe up near Andy Devine's hometown, Kingman.
David's acquainted that because he was in jail there one time. Yeah. I'm kidding.
The charges have been dropped. Come on. The judge said the record would be expunged.
Well, little did he know.
Now you're bringing that up.
So some cultivated areas around the tell there. This looks like it's going to be exciting, John. We're excited for you, too. And keep us posted as this develops. And as you get closer to the date, we'll be looking for more news from, let me give this a crack here. Abel Beit Ma'aka.
Yep, that's pretty good.
All right.
I'm impressed.
Not too bad. John DeLancey, pastor and our resident expert in archaeology from Glenshaw, Pennsylvania. John, always delighted to have you with us, and thanks so much for today.
You're quite welcome. Have a great day, guys.
You too. And may there be no snow and lots of games to ump for you. And may the Phillies pull one out today or tomorrow. They're probably off today, I think. So, yeah.
Right.
Music from Steve Bell.